Hello, welcome to the Small Game. I'm your host, Rob. Time to buckle up, lads. That's my new saying. Yeah, welcome to the show. Buckle up, Broncos. I'm joined by Dayton from Party of the All Points and also mainly this show. Not mainly this show, mainly the Party of the All Points, but also this show. Let's go for that instead. The other day, someone said to me, they were like, oh, Rob, you're on that 40K adjacent show as well, aren't you? I was like, wait, I'm on it, am I? Like...
Sons of bitches took over the show.
Sons of bitches. Dayton, how are you? You well?
I'll do my Peter the Falcon intro.
Yeah, go on, do it.
Good.
I'm good.
I'm so good. Thanks. Barely alive.
A lot of people are excited about my dungarees today. I just thought I'd show them off for the world.
Pretty fantastic.
I've got.
No one wants to see this, but.
Nice. I don't know if we can see him yet. Yeah, we saw it. Yeah.
Oh, it gets lost in the friggin' mooses anyways. Mises?
So hello everyone, welcome to the show today. Today we're going to be talking about everything that we saw in the... We're going to be catching up with Dayton and then catching up with everything that occurred yesterday on the reveal show. Do more of a deep dive on some of the information, some of the stuff maybe we've kind of theory crafted over the past 24 hours. So very much looking forward to that. I just want to say hello to everyone in the chat, WhatWhat92, big love to you. Scott B, Ange, what's going on? Marcus Rock, hello, how are you?
Gitly.
Is Gitly in the chat? Yeah, Gitly is in the chat. Can you roll a crit? Hope you're well. Thanks for working on the front line. Big love to you. Scrivo, hello. Scott B. Hi, gents, ladies, everyone in the gang. Right, so Dayton, John, have you been?
Bernie's mittens were made to him by a teacher in Virginia, I believe.
Who, the Bernie mittens?
The Bernie mittens, yeah, and she's been contacted numerous times by people saying, I want a pair of those mittens. And she's like, no, I have, like, kids and a full-time job. Like, I can't be knitting mittens for people.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. But then did you also hear what he did? So Bernie Bernie Sanders put the meme picture of him on some T-shirts and hoodies and stuff.
Sold out
of them immediately. And then 100% of the money that was being made from them was sent to a local charity. I think it was a food banks in his local area.
It was 100% of the proceeds were to Meals on Wheels in Vermont.
Yes. He's basically perfect. He's flawless, and go on.
I've been a big Bernie fan for a long time. I got numerous T-shirts with Bernie or Our Only Hope, like Star Wars themed, and he's been at it for a long time, and he hasn't changed his tone. I mean, he's still going to be corporately backed, but you're never going to find a politician that's not. But the fact that he's now in charge of the money in America and where it goes is pretty fantastic. I have hope.
Yeah, he's glorious. He's glorious. I love him. I love him forever and ever. And the only reason I mentioned that, podcast listeners, I hope you're staying hydrated, he's currently my background picture. There he is. He's overseeing me. Once again, asking us to get on the fuck with the subjects, I think is what he's mainly
doing. He just can't be bothered, you know?
Just can't be arsed with this shit.
He's been waiting for so long.
Dayton, loads to catch up on with you. Number one, how's the podcast going?
Podcast doing awesome. We just did an episode yesterday with Mr. Owen Jackson, who's just a fantastic delight, and I don't know, we haven't had a bad Englishman yet, or Englishwoman. But he is our fourth now. And damn, those early mornings with you guys.
I can pretty much guarantee you, as can every colonial territory guarantee you, there are a couple of bad English fellas out there, and ladies, so watch out.
Yeah, I've seen them at LVO. Fuck them.
what else? Podcast going well. You had Owen on. That's great. You guys should go listen to that. And also, you were talking about a tournament that you guys were organizing.
Yeah, so we deep dived it on the podcast yesterday. It was pretty... our super secret Discord with the Rage of Sigmar boys and numerous other big names. I just decided to run a TTS tournament now that I've been playing like three games. and just friendly, not high tier meta stuff. Didn't stop Jacob. But just kind of get to know each other, drink some beers, have some fun, roll some dice. So perfect. That tournament is underway. You got a week to compete your matchup. We got 10 of us in there, and we got one more game. We got Morgan and Noah Singh playing today. So,
Okay, yeah, I think Big Goldfish, thanks for subscribing. Can't wait to see you soon for the work that you are doing on the venue. Make sure that's very specific on those things. The Shadowy Elitist Discord. Yeah, I'm actually in several Shadowy Elitist Discords and WhatsApps, but really it's just the same 8 people in each one with just one other person removed. So depending on who's being a knob at the time. And I actually think that there's like 14 of those that I'm not in, which is also like,
what's kind of awkward, but it wasn't awkward, was talking about it on a podcast with one of your co-hosts that's not invited to the server.
Oh my God. It's so awkward. Yeah. Right.
And then the other two co-hosts are on talking about it.
And the Dreadwoods is right. And I read fuck all from any of them, like almost zero, which is most important. Right. So that's good. I'm glad that tournament's going well. The follow up question, also really enjoying the Canadian strength of the Honest Wargamer, but also it bringing together a lot of like unionized like Canadians together. So obviously you've got you and Bud forming like a very strong.
That's Canada.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like you guys are really pushing that Age of Sigmar envelope. Obviously, I know you 40K curious, both of you as well. Obviously, you've got Pete and Val bringing the 40K side. I think I saw Val watching on YouTube but a moment ago. I think that's true. And a lot of calls, it happened on the 40K Adjacent show. I think Val suggested it, fake news, but I'm saying it anyway. I think he said that maybe you guys should just annex from the community southern to you. So it just should be, North American should really just be talking about Canada, and really we should have no American conversation.
There's so many good people.
It, not me.
There's so many good people in the States. Yeah. I mean, maybe just we'll take Oregon. Maybe Washington. They seem to kind of have it right. California even gets pretty fun.
Okay, all right, we'll take some.
We'll take some. Not Texas.
Again, if you'd like to lay blame, please lay that at Pete and Val's feet, not mine. So
Florida can go to hell.
Yeah. The final kind of catch up news is how has a lot of people I think listening to the show have jumped into the 3D printing. I think I've inspired a few people, which has been fun. And again, I want to thank everyone who has helped me along in that journey. You've picked yourself up both a resin and an FDM printer. So FDM printer used for terrain, resin printer used for miniatures. How's that journey been for you? What's been going on?
A lot better than Bud's. I feel bad for Bud.
I don't feel bad for Bud. Yeah, nope. Like I saw how unclean his build plate was, and I was furious. So like it was not neat. And then he said he piles all his models up just in piles in boxes, which again triggered me. So I don't.
Yeah, he sends them to Joe while he plays against him because that triggers Joe. So he just sends them photos in the chat of his dirty, messy. Like, look at here's some models from 1996 all in a pile. It's like Blood Knights. He's got like 40 Blood Knights in a pile.
So how's the journey been for you?
It's been really good. I would say the resin printing is a lot easier than the filament. I'm still dialing in my filament stuff, but everything I've been doing has just been guards and stuff because those printers come pretty bare bones. So
they do.
One of the things I got coming in the mail is a sensor for my filament. So when it runs through the guide, as soon as the filament's not there, it grounds and pauses the print. So then you can fill it. So you, when those big 34-hour prints and you run out at 32 hours, it won't mess the whole print.
Or my 48-hour print, which ran out at 47 hours.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So issue will not be a problem. You just come in, it's on pause, you put it in a new roll and push play, and there you go. But yeah, I went balls deep. My wife is super impressed with me. We had a conversation about 3D printing. All of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, cool. So I got the filament printer coming. I got the resin printer coming. The cure and wash station for the printer. Oh, yeah.
And so I think the important question, I guess, really is how have you found the, I know you necessarily haven't like banged out any terrain yet, but I know you've definitely done some miniatures. How would you say it compares, you know, like how do you feel about it really with your hobby and everything around you?
It's good. They're really good. And the nice thing about it too, like I printed out these, shroom mushroom guys, zombies, because I want to use them as pox walkers. because there's really nothing fantasy about them. They can be used in either setting because they're just clothing. And they were a little bit too big. So I went into my slicer and decreased the size by 10%. And now they're perfectly the same height as Boxwalkers. So you just like tweak around. And it's 2 hours for five at a high setting. And it's they're awesome. They're fantastic. Because what are they? 10 Poxwalkers for $40 right now?
And how much was it when you did you run the price on what it cost you to produce five or ten, in resin?
So I've used about 250 milligrams of resin and I've printed 28 miniatures. And 500 grams of resin cost me about $25.
Okay, so about $12.50 to produce 28 minis.
Right. So 50 cents a mini, if that.
Okay. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm okay with that. The nice thing too, like I mentioned to you before, is now my daughter has endless miniatures to paint that I don't care about. And they're durable. Like, I've only had one like snap an arm while I've cutting off the supports, but I've dropped them on the floor and they've bounced and did fine. So
good.
That's always the test. Can it land the floor test?
So good. I'm excited to hear more about that journey for you. Obviously, it's been a journey for me at the moment, which I've been very much enjoying. More on that later. I think
you're like the guru now. Everyone contacts you for all their tech support.
Not quite. I messaged Randy. Yeah, that's the current setup. But I think one of the things that I will do, obviously, in the future, I'm going to do like a long single video about this on my own. Kind of what I've learned in about a month, because I think, like Dayton said, I think ultimately. For the community and for you guys listening at home, like my current feelings are there's no way that you shouldn't invest if you've got the room to do so, because you can just, you know, free yourself up from having to buy so many miniatures, which is brilliant. And it's super fun. So a couple of questions in the chat.
Granaldi, I play Death Guard hard. I go hard into Death Guard. And what I meant by fantasy is I just meant like some of the models, you'll get like swords and stuff in their hands, and that wouldn't be appropriate for 40K, I feel. I would lose it. So these are more like people. So you can use them in both settings. That's what I meant, Grinaldi. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for keeping me straight. It's the chat. It's the chat that I'm here for, not Rob.
Same. all right. Will you be printing models replace bit NG? I don't know. It's Dave, I'm not sure. Buying. Will you printing models replace buying models for you? More than likely.
No.
It would for me, unless there's something that I want.
Like Lord Virulence for Death Guard.
Like the new vamps. But let's talk about the new stuff now, shall we? And go through it because I think there's some fun stuff to be talked about there. More on that in another show.
Isn't it always nice when GW comes up with new stuff so we can talk about things?
it is. Thank you to them. Appreciate you.
That's Saturday reveal. Wow, it was so good. I mean,
well, that's what we're going to be talking about right now.
That production level is just fantastic. It couldn't have been handled by any intern Matt or anything.
Intern Matt could have done a better reveal show. Let's quickly overview Twitch chat and Dayton. What did you make of the actual review? The actual reveal. How did you feel about it as like a piece of advertising or whatever you want?
Obviously, you're super excited for the models. I said it in a statement on my Twitter. I feel if that was their LVO announcement, it would have been very disappointing to the people that showed up for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. If that's the maximum it had been. But we already know their release schedule is super fucky. Like, it's very rare that we know about two whole armies and definitely, obviously, the other thing. Like, it's normally not that amount of stuff that we know ahead of time. Distinct lack of boxes pulled from under the desk. Gitly, I agree with you. 4 out of 10. It was mediocre. Couldn't really care until they showed up for my quest. There's Gabe. That's fair. Multi-billion quick company launching products with half of Eddie's face. It was hilarious. They gave us some videos we wanted. MJ Pegasus, I agree. And we will talk about that. All right. So we're going to go through these as it is on the site and then hopefully deep dive. We are going to skip something, specifically Titanicus.
That's why you have a scroll button.
Let's have a quick look at the Armor of Faith video. We're going to go through this one by one. I don't know if you've got it up there, Dayton, and kind of break down the scenes.
I can see it. you're good.
I think this is cool. So the actual video I loved. I don't know about you, like it was awesome. The breakdown and the kind of movements of the things. Did you have anything? What did you Twitch chat and you? What did you make of this?
Yeah, it's good to see the videos back. You always get. I mean, this is our. We don't get an animated cartoon or anything. Like we get what is it? Space Marine, Astartes.
Yeah.
That was like our closest like touching to something magnificent. So other than that, we get these little videos. And they're great brilliant. Little windows. Yeah, they're windows into the world, right? That we love.
Yeah. So unless I'm mistaken, and unless this process has changed, just to let everyone know, like when I was at Games Workshop and working there full time in the video team, the person who's responsible, so my friend Pegastix, so Pegastyx on Twitter, you'll have seen her all of her conversions. She's like a phenomenal hobbyist, but most importantly, like she quite often storyboards. A lot of the earlier videos, like the Gene Silicott videos and all these others, she often storyboards and then animates. Obviously, she gets a voice actor to do the voice acting, and she gets like an actual designer to, or like an artist to do the actual drawing. But she's the one who like animates it. And for me, if I can be a bit wanky about this for a moment, I love tempo in video. Like tempo, pacing, timing. It's a bit like comedic timing, right? If you don't have it, you aren't great at video editing.
Yeah, I got no idea what that's like. We had Jacob on the show, he's good at that.
But the point is, I think like as a reviewer, if I'm allowed to, and yes, obviously maybe colored by my own personal friendship, but I think as an animator, she has great timing. I think that's one of those really important parts, like choosing the music. I've filmed a lot of wedding videos. You don't get to choose the music to that, like the couple do, and editing to someone else's music is horrific. But I don't know if you guys have ever watched videos where someone's changed the background music to a scene. Like it changes the whole mood of the scene, and that oftentimes is true of this stuff as well. So anyway, really fun to see these, and I love them. Not that we learn loads from this particular video, because I don't think we saw anything unique. Like the Chaos Space Marines didn't look like there were any sort of leaks, really. And it was really only this new model that was the focus of the video. Yeah, so I haven't seen anyone deep dive anything unique and special that we hadn't previously seen from models from this faction. So it looks like that's the only model that we're necessarily going to see.
Yeah, so we're trying to theory hammer this because they already have like patented engines and stuff like that, right? They got their expendable Go Blender people. So is it going to be more of like a leader role model?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I expect them to be a heavy support choice, is how I'm kind of feeling. Like, with the weapon options, I think. Or maybe elites. Dreadnoughts normally move into elites, don't they?
They go into elites, but I would see, because I know Grey Knights, the baby carrier, like, they're generals on the field, right? So that's why I was just wondering, like, maybe that's the kind of the role. Because the sisters do actually need a little bit more leadership on the board to push forward.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I'd be interested to see how they, like, integrate into the army as a whole. Ultimately, I don't love the models. I think they're, like, I get that, like, they're dreadnoughts but feminine, right? So they've got, like, much thinner arms. You know,
it's the same thing. Like you're just shooting the person operating it. It doesn't make sense.
But the thing for me is I feel like this is a very distinctively non-Imperium design cue. If I'm allowed to, like I get it. They're like it's ladies in the armor, and I'm like okay. But Imperium stuff is by definition boxy. It's intentional, right? No matter what you're looking at from the Imperium, it's intentionally boxy. Because that's meant to define the Imperium as is, like it's function over form, the Imperium. Whereas if you look at Eldar, even the custodians in the Heresy, they moved towards, they were more Eldar-esque. They were slightly more like rounded and lithe, which is why if you look at the 30K. Custody stuff, it's got more rounded edges and it feels a lot less Imperial, whereas actually if you move over to the Citadel Custodies, they're boxy, right? They're like they're chonky, and so I think that this is it's a weird design cue is what I'm going to say, which is why I feel like it looks odd, if I'm allowed to say that, right?
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I'm not hating on it. I'm more just trying to like deep dive it a little bit, and it feels like because I'd be hard pushed to find something else in the Imperium that looks similar, is what I'm trying to get at.
Maybe they have like Dune. Maybe they have the Dune force field belts. Maybe that explains it.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, obviously, the one without the helmet is moronic. You would just shoot her head. But you know, maybe
yeah. But the haircut.
Here's one whose head was previously shot.
You got to show off that haircut.
You do. Here's one whose head was previously shot. They had to replace her eye.
I don't know if you've ever shot large guns before, but the muzzle would get very hot after shooting.
So the one near her head?
Yeah, the two heavy bolters by her head.
I mean, which is worse? The two heavy bolters near the nun's head without a helmet on, or the ATV where the gun is right above the Marine's head?
Yeah, but I mean, we're just being those nerds. Stop looking for reality in our fantasy universe and just accept it.
Agreed. Absolutely. What about Terminators without helmets? I also don't agree with that either. I've never thought that was sensible. Like, I genuinely think helmetless Terminators or Marines or anyone helmetless in 40K is an idiot and deserves to die.
Yeah, you know, all those sensors and everything that help you augment your vision and see things on the battlefield?
And the Vox? The communication, yeah. Isn't that in the helmet?
Let's throw it up.
They're like, contact brother Pretarius. And he's like, his helmet's off. Why would his helmet be off? Yes. Stahl, thank you very much for subscribing. Big love to you. And also, I mean, there's the obvious question about where do her feet go?
Yeah, Scott B. I know. We hear you, buddy. They chopped off her lower. Oh, he just keeps talking about it. They chopped off their lower half to make them fit in.
They did. But okay. I mean, it's.
Have you seen? What girls are you getting with, Scott B? They are flexible.
Tyranids they do yoga and
stuff. Come on.
Tyranids don't have helmets and they shoot the Tyranids, right? Like, I get it. They have a carapace. Anyway, your prayers have been answered. It was a prayer I never knew I even made. So there we go. So we're going to skip Kill Team because it's really bad. It's really bad box.
Yeah, but
really
we can't. Yeah, like, hey. You know your heavy intercessors and the Chronomancer that I've been waiting for forever?
Yeah.
Here you go. Buy a box now.
How did you feel about the 48 pieces of Necron terrain?
I love that, eh? Like, oh, you get like all this awesome Necron terrain you can use. Like, I've seen people on the comments like, yeah, but you get the terrain. You know, you get doors. You get doors and tiny little things. Like, that's not terrain. What is that you use that for? It's so bad. And the matchup alone, too. Like, I play both factions. Those flares, five of them can maybe take down one of those heavy intercessors.
Before they die.
Maybe. So bad. And the Chronomaster is like not a fighting guy. He's a support piece. And that Space Marine Captain is a fighting and support piece. Like, yeah, it's pretty lazy. It's unfortunate to see that kind of matchup.
Yeah, it's very lazy.
Yeah. I like Kill Team. It's a good little system that they got going for them, and I like to see them support their side projects, even if it's Titan.
Wouldn't you like to see them support it well?
Yeah, I think it's a bad box. Like, there's nothing in there. It's an underground. They're in a labyrinth. Come on. They've been doing that a lot lately. They did it with Warcry, where they put it in the dungeon. It's just an excuse for them not to produce the big terrain kits they used to do.
There's a good point being made in the chat, though. If you look at this competitively, one of those heavier instances is wearing a helmet, so much easier to wound than his brothers.
The flayed ones, The flayed ones sculpts are really good, too.
They're really good. And Necrons also don't wear helmets, agreed, but that's why they'll lose in this match every time. Right, then Titanic is sweet. Skip that. Okay, it's a cool model, whatever. If you play Titanic, it's really excited for you. Let's go.
Yep. You got support. Oh, it's good to see support. Like I said, support to your game.
Support to your
There's
game.
That
excellent
guy, Bob, who was playing. Fantastic. There you go, Bob.
Yeah, and he's got a whole new book, and he's like fucking really hype about it, and I'm really happy for it. Right, okay. Age of Sigmar. We're going to go through this video shot by shot because there's lots to unpack here. Again, it's just some LEDs.
Yes. The Noah's Ark faction.
Can we talk about the color palette? Always an interesting choice. Obviously, this is their like their imprint, the Warhammer brand here that you can see. Interestingly, different to their old imprint, which they showcased for TV, which had lightning. Wonder where that's gone. But the color palette around it, this kind of pinky vibe, classic Fursona color is what I'm saying here in these edited videos. So I'm loving that. Look at this, the Age of Sigmar logo, even with like a pink. Love, like it's like a Valentine's Age of Sigmar image, which I'm really into it.
I mean, Elves player in general, right? Like, you know, Dan is just jiving right now.
Loving it. So this model, so the first one that we're seeing here, like 8 seconds in, if you guys want to follow along at home. Yeah, we've seen this already. So this is the special character that we saw earlier in the week and looks awesome, right?
Yeah, I really like the rider. I think the rider looks amazing. Mm. The mounts are, you know, decent. Like I said, you mentioned it before, the heads are small. I see head swaps like all the time.
Oh, good point. Good point by intern Matt. So this looks like it's going to be an alternate build. So it looks like there's a dual build on that that mounted special character,
That's why he makes the big bucks, intern Matt.
Intern Matt, that's why you do make the big bucks. Love your loads.
We don't pay you in work experience, don't worry.
The helmet is different, so thank you. So that means that's cool. I mean, I would expect most of the kits, like we saw with the Bow Riders, I'm pretty certain. Oh, the Gravecrawler, thanks for subscribing. Big love to you. First time in the crew. That's lovely. So yeah, I expect this is a dual kit for a hero. So that takes us up to 2 sculpts that we're going to be getting so far, if you guys want to keep track. And hopefully maybe this is like a wizard variant, because I do love a good mounted wizard. They don't generally tend to do them, but I love a good cheeky mounted wizard. So that's the first one. So that's 2 sculpts. Now this is another character with a ludicrous hat, I'm going to say. But I think the telling part about this model is obviously the...
His small shins.
Also that.
Is he on pegs? Like, what is that?
Is he a pirate? Have we finally got ourselves a pirate? Big shout out to the Propagation, by the way, for subscribing. Big love. Thank you.
Look at this. We're at 103 viewers. What the hell?
I just want to say thank you. I just want to say massive love to anyone who does tune in. If you fancy tuning in all through the next week, we're trying to hit an average of 100 viewers a day because that means we can apply to partner. Doesn't really get us anything other than we're able to get more emotes, which is really what we want to do, because we do like to make a good old joke on the show, and making some emotes out of them is super fun. So that's our path. So if you guys I'm not going to tune in on Tuesday. If you could just stick it on your phone or a web browser, any of that would be awesome. And thank you.
Love you too, Tristan.
Big love, Tristan. Hello. Tywin, love you. Azrank, thanks. Right, so... This looks like it might be like a Swordmaster hero is kind of like where I'm going with that, with a sword slung across the back. I don't know what you might think there.
I don't know. He's got a big staff, right?
It's also a weird looking staff.
Yeah, he's probably a monkey or something. Like, like this is the Noah's Ark of factions now, right? All the furries out there are just loving this faction.
More than likely. So that takes us up to a third sculpt that we're going to see from this range so far. Now we've got a banner bearer, and it looks to be a ridiculously sized banner. Like, this is 13 seconds in. This is our fourth sculpt that we've seen so far, and it's looking wild.
They're doing that more now, right? Like, you go back to the Battle Sisters, the Adeptus Sororitas. You get that one chick who's carrying like basically a marble statue for a banner.
They don't. I think intern Matt's got it right when he says, "I can't wait to break it." They're definitely not concerned about anyone wanting to play with this faction and keep the models together.
Yeah, they want you to use magnets for everything. Yet they don't supply a carrying case for magnets, so they're just pushing themselves out of that little market that they didn't care about anyways with their box from 20 years ago. Isn't it great to see those own tournaments when someone shows up with a Citadel box? You're like, oh my god, that's so nostalgic. Oh, you actually carry your models in that? Jesus.
And then they open it up and it's like, oh, it's all broke. You're like, what did you expect, bud?
Dude, you're supposed to put your battle tomes in there and all your war schools.
At this point, do you not think that Warhammer, both ages in around 40k, it's very, very possible that we could get like caddies, like golf, who just carry our books for us? You know, stood next to you at the table, and you're like, page 37 of the Space Marine book, please. Oh, there you go, sir. Yeah. Anyway, so another banner. So this takes us up to our fourth sculpt in the set. Big old banner. So that'll be fun to see. So that's four so far. This looks like, I don't know if this is a single new bowman. If we just go back a sec, like 15 seconds in.
Oh, it looks, three strings. Oh,
that's our bolt thrower, isn't it? That's our much alluded to bolt thrower. If you look, if you look at the size of the bow and the mechanisms,
wow, I don't know.
pretty certain that's our bolt thrower, which is our fifth sculpt.
Three bows up, you know it's going to shoot far.
It's going to shoot far when it hits you, make you minus one to hit. Also, the rumors tell me. That's fun that they get those. So dual bolts, yeah. So that is that's our fifth sculpt of the day. So there's going to be a bolt thrower. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like we have... So Warhammer Weekly Tom, obviously got to give him a shout-out. He made a great suggestion here that this might be like a Sun and Moon dual kit, very much like Illesky with the kind of dual kit that you get on the Demon Prince.
So this is interesting because there's a lot of comparisons that have been being made about the Slaanesh releases and Lumineth. Like, they're kind of mirroring each other in good mm-hmm. and dark. And then this would mirror the... what's his name? With a demon body.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that what you're referencing? You're referencing yeah, already. I just wasn't following. No, it's fine. That's perfect. This makes for great content.
Hey, what about this thing? Yeah, but what about this other thing that's that same thing you said? Yeah, perfect. Yeah, first yeah, thing, I'm really into it.
Yeah. I'm here for the people that don't know what they're talking about. I'm here for the you people.
Val Heffelfinger says, Dayton, hand me the ruby reds. Not sure what that is. He also says, how can a hoser... crushing the adjacent show on Sunday morning again.
Right. Don't be jelly.
Don't be jelly. So I think, yeah, I think that's what we might be seeing here, which is quite cool. So maybe a mage with, I like the Sun and Moon kind of like maybe kind of option there that Tom from Warhammer Weekly suggested, which I think is funky. This does take us up to our, let me just get this right, our sixth kit so far that we're seeing.
See, Val and I should be having a beer here like next week for LVO. That's when we would be meeting up. We would have been rejoicing in each other's comforts, and I'd be hugging his saggy body and drinking beer with him.
But next weekend is the Nopen.
Yeah. But it's not the same. It's good that they're doing it. Congrats to them for doing it. But yeah,
agreed.
It's not.
You missed the dice caddy part, Rob. I set the joke up. I'm sorry. I'm slow today.
Swordmasters.
Swordmasters, our seventh kit. Swordmasters, very intricate helmets. Each one also has a flag. The only thing that I'm really happy about with the intricateness of the Lumineth is that I'll never have to paint it. So I'm really happy for everyone who's really into these. Yeah. this is our seventh kit with some pretty strong looking... Look at the size of those longswords as well. No messing, right?
It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know if you've ever played with... Idna Deepkin, like the Namardi thralls, and they have mm-hmm. the little tassels off their back. You will not see those at tournaments because they're broken like as soon as they get moved once.
Yeah,
like there's just so much of this kit that's just going to be gone.
They're like, you're not playing with these. Yeah. I got some boo elves boo. I couldn't agree.
You roll those Lumineth dice wrong, and they're just going to wipe out so many standards.
Or I really like to see the mirror match where the spears go into the banners and everything's broken.
Yeah, barrel of monkeys when you pull them apart.
So Swordmasters is our seventh kit, which is going to be cool.
Great, though. I love Swordmasters in the High Elves. They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So that's our seventh kit that we're seeing there.
There'll be minus four to hit with missile weapons.
Yes. Yeah, impossible to be shot. Movement 42. Right, so then another on-foot character, it looks like. This one looks like a combat mage, so it's a swordmaster. So we did that. There used to be a character, Twitch chat, please help me, which was a swordmaster that was also a wizard.
Loremaster?
Yep. Yes, Loremaster of Hoeth. Is that right? I think I've finished that.
And he gave you a reroll to hits and wounds to one unit. He's still viable in Age of Sigmar.
So there we go. Yeah, if you shoot Swordmasters, they reflect all the shots back at you. Obviously, that's not true. And then, yeah, the Loremaster of Hoeth. So this is the new Loremaster, which is our eighth kit. So that's going to buddy up with those guys. Then we've seen our bow shooter character already. That's our ninth kit. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The foxy character. enter the Hurrican. Okay, so yes.
So is this all supposed to be like air? Is this going to be all the air element then, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. What's nice to see is they're not really adding too much more shooting into Age of Sigmar.
Jesus, that helped.
The bow throw.
The bow backpack is awesome. The quiver.
It is.
That's cool.
It is cool.
Like the model itself, cool. Like it's going to be converted like to hell. And like, it's so much goodness in these models. As much as it's all animal themed and whatever. Val's still going on the very saggy comment I made about his body.
Oh, no. YouTube, no. Restream bot wrecked. Okay. The YouTube comments repeated themselves. and Intermat is right. So that is, I think that so far is eight kits. We haven't seen the Camel Rider at all. Obviously, featured in that video wasn't the Roo Shooters. So the Camel Rider is our ninth kit. The Roo Shooters, and I imagine the dual kit on the Roo Fighters. So there'll be the Roos, but there'll be fighters as well. It takes 10 kits. And then there's also the Cloud Mage fella that we saw from the preview video, which takes us up to 11 kits for the new Lumineth. At least 11 minimum, with more to come.
Or no, the it's Dragon not... Ball Z character.
Yeah, yes, on the cloud. Yeah. So apparently,
they're just trying to rip off everything now. Anything that's part of your culture, they just want to incorporate it into their armies now.
I'm so hyped to see the lightsaber dudes at some point, and also Baby Yoda. Like, I don't know how the fuck they're doing Baby Yoda, but I can't wait to see it. is the Cloud Man a monkey? If not, I'm disappointed. He might well be Iron Gutsman. We don't know right now what he's going to be. But like, it's a huge range. It's actually larger than the actual. I give it credit. I think it's larger than the actual original Lumineth release.
Yeah,
which is pretty wild.
Like all Sylvaneth players, all Flesh Eater Courts players are just like, cool, cool. So they just get numerous releases over and over again. And we're still sitting here on our fight models. That's right, awesome.
So I've been torn about this, and Twitch chat, go with me on this. And Dayton, I want to ask you the question, how I felt about this. I've been thinking about this since yesterday. Two schools of thought on this. Number one, had you released all of these kits at the same time, that's an overwhelming amount of models. Yeah. That's like nearly, it's 20 kits. It's massive, which is awesome. Yeah. So that's number one. That's overwhelming. That's one argument for the breaking up of the release. Number two, the more cynical side of the way to look at it is it a release that has been intended so that like you buy wave one, you buy it all up, and then you buy all of wave two? And ultimately, like, do you care? Like, do you love?
No, it's a smarter way. If you look at it from a corporation's standpoint, and in video games, add-ons that get released later on, that keeps that development staff hired instead of just being like a couple patch guys that fix like bugs. It actually keeps the development staff going, and it keeps that corporation going. So it's a good strategy, and it's actually good to see. If you know you're buying into an army with limited release, you're going to know that later on down the line, they're going to get new models. And who wouldn't be excited? For people that actually got into the Lumineth, Dan, and ditched all their dwarves, Dan. Yeah. Like, this is going to be huge. And this model range is getting awesome. And now it's going to get people excited and realize maybe I should invest into this army now because there's a bunch of support for it.
I think your point is right. And also, like, one of the things that maybe I like about it. So the Broken Realms books, see Psychic Awakening books. There's a big difference between the Psychic Awakening book and the Broken Realms books anyway. The Broken Realms books updated armies that needed it in some ways, not this time around necessarily, but also... brought to us some cool new rules, but also brought us a pretty kick-ass story. I can't really say the same for the Psychic Awakening story. I thought it was pretty rough and pretty rubbish, to be honest, and felt like a
and killer. They're all invalidated anyway, so awesome.
Yeah, whereas actually, like, it's quite I think maybe this is quite a nice way to get the new army delivered to us, the supplement. I'm not sure still how I feel about it ultimately. I'm a little bit sad that I was never a person who took a book to a tournament anyway, right? I didn't like bring my book along with me. And so taking two books isn't really a drama. And you're right. Like, I think the only negative can feel like when you're your army didn't get the updates, and like you said, especially at courts, like a whole bunch of armies that like didn't get the updates. But it looks like this is kind of like a new paradigm, right, where they originally designed all 20 kits, and we, 20 kits, and we don't know, like, actually, let's look at the Eidneth release, which obviously didn't get the same treatment. It didn't get, like, the one release and the next release. So we got all of its kits, but we don't know how many are left on the drawing board, or they're like, maybe they have, like, when we release a new range, their previous system was, when we release a new range, 11 or 12 is kind of our maximum, let's say, of stuff that we're going to release. Yeah, any more than that. But the guys are like, I've got, like, 52 fucking, like, designs. I remember interviewing the designers for the original Death Guard book, so the actual sculptors. I designed them, I interviewed them for Games Workshop while I was there, and they were like, oh, Rob. I was like, I love the Sassy Nurglings. They're like, dude, I've got like 18 books full of designs of Sassy Nurglings. He's like, I've got too many. Like, and he's like, they weren't like, we couldn't put them all out. So maybe this is a great way for the designers to kind of like really stretch their feet a little bit, or their legs or whatever. And then, you know, they go, cool, we'll just stick that into wave two. And then all the Lumineth is like done for several years sort of thing. They're like, we don't need to come back to that. And then maybe now in the future, we will just end up with more releases over a small amount of time for a faction, if that makes sense. So the Gravelords, yeah, whenever they come out, we'll get the Gravelords. And then we know in a year's time, there might be some more Gravelords.
Do you think they're going to be the other faction in the new box?
I don't. Oh, in the start, I don't think these are start box stuff.
No, not the Lumineth, but the Vampires, the Soulblight. Would they do that? No. Would they do double death?
No, I don't.
Death oh, this.
For what?
They did Night Haunt, because they did Night Haunt, but the season 2 or Age of Sigmar 2.0. It's not that. Oh, okay. Fine. I'm just grasping at straws. And what was my reference? I'm sitting here rubbing two sticks together, and you're walking around with a Zippo.
So JP says, main thing is going to annoy me is that limited edition tome I got is now invalidated, which I think is super fair. I do think that Games Workshop are like, I think that a fair conversation on the back of an amazing set of models is Games Workshop are, if there any, we're all in for models, but Games Workshop are rip-off merchants when it comes to books at this stage. I think books are it's a great conversation as a community to have about books, and maybe, you know, just not buying them. Anyway,
digital, but the model, is cheaper.
Yeah, digital is cheaper. And so the model, but the models look phenomenal. This guy is ludicrous. Like, yeah, fucking ludicrous. And I love him to pieces. And I love all the other models as well. Like, I would never paint them. They're beyond my skill sets to paint, or my time to be asked. But I can't wait to see, like, the great artists put these together and put them on the tabletop. I think they look
brilliant. I really like how they did the design on the armor pads, too, for all their stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all the line work in the armor is actually on the model itself.
I love that. Yeah, really helpful for people who want to like play around with that, because I think that's beneficial to people who aren't necessarily as good a painter, because then they can just use a wash or something.
Hit it with a dry brush. Your dry brush now looks more impressive on these figures.
Exactly, and then it's also good for people who can paint, because then they can go wild with that. So I think it's good.
The animal aesthetic though just makes me laugh. This army is just all over the place.
Anyway, love him. And this, the fox-like creature is a demigod empowered by the wind. Another god! Oh, for God's sakes. By the wind spirits of Heesh, just in case thought Teclis had peaked with the mountain. So this is our wind release for the Lumineth, of which there are two more kind of temples to come, right? Fire and water. Although, I don't know if Eidneth count as the water, right? So, yeah. I mean, looks great. And then the Broken Realms book is Teclis. And just to announce what's in here, the Lumineth Realm Lords get some updates.
Back.
So that's all those new War Scrolls, which is pretty wild. Cities of Sigmar. So, again, brilliant. Magickin and
Nurgle. Going to give us another city that no one's going to use. Fantastic. But they're in the storyline, and that's what we wanted. We want to hear about the people. And I love what they're doing with cities.
Yeah, cities is just an amazing
book. Lore-wise.
Yeah, and one of the suggestions that I saw yesterday, which when we quickly get down to it and we talk about the box set, Warhammer Quest and the Gravelords, is we saw like a city, and I'm just vibing off there being death cities as much as there are order cities. And eventually I'd vibe off destruction cities as well. I know that really goes against their kind of like their vibe, but like, I don't know. I feel like it would be a thing.
Meg King and Nurgle now have a more than two builds.
Yeah. Which is
fantastic.
Yeah, Meg King and Nurgle, Flesh Eater Core updates, and OCR Bone Reaper updates. So I am interested in this being chosen as book two. And I do wonder, because of release schedule, one of the things that I think is interesting, obviously, we'll have to wait to read it. But if this doesn't reference the Marathi book, as in they're standalone books that are part of the like narrative, but if it doesn't reference it and instead it can just be its own thing, I do wonder if they moved the order around on the releases. So if previously that like there was meant to be another book that had like Nighthorn and Beasts of Chaos in or something like that, which was meant to go before, right. And if the narrative wasn't necessarily intertwined, then they could have just gone, cool, we'll make that book three instead. Because, you know, it doesn't have a number on it. It doesn't say like it's part of an ongoing narrative.
I don't know. You know their production better than anyone else. So.
Well, it's as simple as that. If there's no referential points between them, they could have swapped them if they wanted to.
Right.
Like, I think that's the important part. Doesn't it say Marathi's involved in the story? I'm not sure if that's the case. However, OCR Bone Reaper's getting an update. Flesh Eater Quartz, Magikin, Nurgle, Cities of Sigmar. Any of those you're mainly excited about?
Yeah, Feck. I love Feck. And getting more options for them is going to be awesome. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a couple things. Like, I don't even care. Like, there's nothing to that rage. Give me something new. If you got a named character, like a named vampire now, that'd be awesome. Give me something.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll take it.
Yeah, I think new battalions would be super sweet. That would be good. So, of course, Teclis isn't going to have everything. So, Wayne Marathi will see to that. After claiming to have achieved apotheosis during the opening gambit of Broken Realm Saga, she's ready to unleash her forces in a fresh assault upon the Mortal Realms. What better way is to begin such a campaign with a new battle tome? We'll talk about that in a moment. I think OCR Bone Reapers unpacking what they might get. I think their book is in a really good place right now. So, War Scroll Battalions or War Scroll Changes. I don't think we'll see War Scroll Changes like we saw for Ideneth, because I don't think they think that there's an issue, but we might.
You know what's really funny?
Yeah.
It's two books now with Destruction just kicked to the side.
Agreed. I agree with that. The OCRX is an interesting one because they obviously, in the Wrath of the Everchosen, they took over the All Points and they had a party there. And the point is...
Well, they have a stronghold in the All Points.
Yeah, and I wonder if they'll get a very specifically anti-Chaos faction. Or, because this says it's Teclis versus Nagash, basically, I wonder if we'll see like them like double down on like the Null Myriad sort of like legion and what we'll see like integrated. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see that story come to fruition. Because a big story happened in the last one. So who knows what's going to happen in this one.
Maybe. Or there'll be the faction that gets the Chariot Battalion.
So yeah, right now, obviously,
like
the last one, the last one had Slaves to Darkness. That's what I was going to say. Of the factions that are in there, so Lumineth, Cities of Sigmar, Magikin, Flesh Eater Courts, OCRX, Twitch Chat. Which one do you think is getting the Slaves to Darkness treatment? Which was last time, basically, no one gives a shit. It didn't work, and the rules didn't make sense.
And Cities of Sigmar as well. They got stomped on too.
They did a bit. They did. So which one are you rooting for getting the rough end of the stick here?
The OBR. They're too new. I think they're the least to be worked with. they'll get a crawler battalion.
I think the Magikin are gonna be the side project army. I really do. I was like, and they were there. Okay, sweet. What are they doing?
Maybe they'll do with Megan and Urgo. Maybe they'll explore more with the piratey side of it.
Okay, yeah.
With their raiding that they do. Because they do have that kind of side faction. What's his name there with the tentacles? How they do like the land raids and stuff.
Gutrot Spume.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be involved in some way.
I'd very much like to see the mortal side of it get like a big boost.
Dude, you and I are both on the same side. The mortals of chaos are way better than the demons.
Thumbs. Rock symbols.
Like demons? Yeah, you're born and you're made. Cool. Awesome. I can get behind that. No, it's the mortals that are like manipulated and twisted to follow them. That's the cool part. And they get rewarded and everything. Come on, there's way
chaos
better.
Champs. It's also a way better story. There's a lot more agency, which is fun. Yeah, big love into that. Yeah. So then... for their third update, a second update in but weeks, is a new Daughters of Cain book here, which is interesting. And just a little side note, Daughters of Cain Calibron build just took out Goldcon, so the 54-person event over in Australia organized by Simon Hall. So congratulations. I think it was Corey who won it, but I'll have to double-check that. So massive congratulations to him. He must be like, don't break my book. My book's lovely right now. So it says, along with their battle tome, Daughters of Cain get new three new endless spells. So Twitch chat and Dayton, what are your feelings on new Daughters of Cain book?
Here's a question. Are they going to be prayers or are they going to be spells?
Yeah,
Daughters of Cain could be either way.
They could be prayers or they could be spells.
It does they have say, an equal amount of prayers as opposed to spells. So.
It does say endless spells, but obviously the guy that writes the article doesn't know. And also, good point being brought out in the chat. The most important point here, Rob, they don't have a 65% win rate yet, so they need new shit. I agree. At best, they were like 60%, so they do need updating. It's an order battle tome. So as much as we know Marathi destroyed a city, betrayed Sigmar, and got into the mix, still they haven't like messed about with the allegiances. And while
you gotta stop thinking about it like good and bad. She's still trying to create order. That's her whole thing. She just wants to be the head of it.
Yeah. No, I get that. I just thought we might see the Grand Alliances be done away with a more kind of like nuanced matrix in some way. You know what I mean? Like, but one of the big suggestions is that maybe we won't see Stormcast as allies anymore. Which would be quite interesting. I'd quite like to see that.
Yeah, it's funny. I imagine it's going to focus more on the mutated part of her, more in her vision. So it'll be all the snakes and the canary and stuff.
And maybe the stuff we saw in Broken Realms will just be what gets integrated into this, and they'll just leave it at it. But it will be fun to see.
Wow.
And
then they'll redo Hagnar.
Yes, they will.
We know that's going to happen.
They will. And I wonder if we'll see there's all sorts of kits in there which. Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what they actually do with them. It'd be nice to see if the Shadowstalkers also go into there as well.
Riders.
Yeah. Doomfire Warlocks, it'll be interesting. And now the Endless Spells as well have come out. Some people loving them. Not to be like critical. I personally, if you love them, great. I personally think that they're like meh, to be honest.
Yeah, Bud made a good point yesterday, which is easy to see. If you ever play Blood Bowl, mm-hmm. The turn marker looks exactly like the Avatar Arcane Heart.
Yeah.
That part is exact same.
So one of the
snake is really cool. The blades are fun. They look great. I really like the snake one. The snake one is awesome.
So one of the interesting things about these aren't actually designed by the same people who design the miniatures. So these come from a different so the people that design terrain are the people who design the endless spells, and they design the terrain, obviously, so faction terrain and stuff. So they have varied in quality, let's just put it that way, to some degree. Looking at you, fire spitter for
the, oh yeah, those are horrible. For the fire slayers.
For the fire slayers, that's pretty rough. So I mean,
even their terrain feature, like here's a forge. Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
the big head.
not bad, but I mean it's cool that they're getting like an up-to-date battle tome just before launch of Age of Sigmar 3 is quite interesting. And that's a lot of books that we know we're gonna get. We don't know if we're gonna get Sinesh stuff in Broken Realms. Maybe we will, and that's the same
thing. I can see their battle tome coming up pretty soon though.
Oh no, they've got a battle tome, haven't they? They're actually getting a battle tome. Yeah, sorry, so that's their battle tome. So that's two battle tomes. Broken Realm Techless, three battle tomes. So a lot to unpack there.
But Diachasm. It's one thing about this release, though, is it lets you know that factions that are updated in the Broken Realms doesn't push them to the back of the line for Battletome updates.
It's true. It also feels like the entire game is now Age of Elves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like okay.
It
does. Like, and even the Sinesh, are like involved with the elves, right?
Well, yeah. They always have been.
Yeah, it always have been. Right, or whatever. So let's talk about probably the people that stole the show would be these vampires. So this is, first off, is the Warcry War Band.
So I'm heavy into Underworlds. And yeah. it's a fantastic game system that my wife and I play quite a bit. And when they released the one Corsair Vampire Girl, I wouldn't think that the rest of that warband would be vampires. Like, I thought they'd be, like, their thralls and stuff like that. Because vampires are really strong, right? So you usually have that one leader piece, and then the rest are going to be whatever. But no, like, they double down. They just, everything is a vampire. It's so good. It's every so one of them good. Have something to them that appeals to me. It's hard to pick a favorite. I think my favorite is the guy standing with it.
With the mace.
Yeah, he's just like a massive brute showing off his abs.
What's interesting is that none of these Warcry Warband are the leaked image of the Gravelords model that we saw with the bat hair. So none of these are in that, which means that if it was just like, oh, here's just a Warcry Warband, there's not going to be anything else. We already know that there's boxed up model of a character for the for the Gravelords somewhere else.
Another hero pack or something for their HeroQuest game? That could be that too.
It could be, but why would it be in a blister box? It doesn't make any sense. It would be
same as Black Fortress.
Yeah, but maybe. Like it would say on it, it would say Warhammer Quest, but it didn't say Warhammer Quest. So
I don't know. I want to be on the other side. I don't want to agree with you all the time. I'm not coming out here just. Well, I'm not your hype man, Rob. I have my own thoughts, thank you.
So the Soulblight Gravelord. So like by extraction, so what we mean is the leaked image we saw earlier in the week, if you guys didn't see it, right, is separate. It's in a blister pack and it's just a character on its own. It doesn't say Warhammer Quest on it, and it also doesn't say Underworld. So that means it's for Age of Sigmar. And because it's for Age of Sigmar and there isn't currently stuff for that, that means there's a Gravelord's book on the way by process of elimination, which is fun. So while everyone's like hype about Warhammer Quest, which when we get to it, and I'm hype about as well, it does also mean not only is it the models that we can see for Warhammer Quest, there's also a whole battle tome of these truly astounding models coming soon. So we are ready.
If this is any evidence to what they are coming out for their model line with this warband, like sign me up. And even the stuff that we saw with the release of that Warhammer Quest, like the models are so good.
So
so good.
This I think this guy stole the show, the vamp holding the big mace.
He's great. Model design.
Yeah, really, 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 really happy that they didn't go like pirates or anything. This is such a and also one of the things I wanted to talk about as well. Which is very, I know these are vampires, so they've got like that grim, murky look anyway. That's the intent. But I do feel like that there's a tonal design shift in these guys. Maybe just because it's vampires. So there's a reason for that. But if we look at the difference between the Lumineth and these guys, there seems to be a very significant shift. And I do wonder if we're going to go, if Age of Sigmar is going to get like more like, I'm not hyper realism.
Real?
Not really, yeah.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Like there's more grounding to natural things that we see in our environment.
Yes, maybe. Like, and obviously that's hilarious based off what we just saw with the Lumineth. Or maybe it's just different horses for different courses. So because this is a Death faction,
I'm just glad they haven't like messed with their old system, right? Because this still pays homage to their old design aesthetics of like classic vampire.
Yeah,
like Sylvaneth vampires. I think they look awesome. This is great. Yeah. Give me everything. Every one of their models are awesome, and they're not jumping off of something. That's fantastic.
That's so good. They're very rarely on rocks, apart from this guy.
Like that guy. Like, look at him. He's got both feet planted. He looks great. you ever heard that thing, too, that there are representations of the different factions of vampires?
Oh, that's interesting. The different bloodlines.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Blood Knights here. The Larmian ones with the lady. Which is this bloodline? Is this the Blood Knights? Dragon Knights is Dragon Knights would be red, wouldn't it? And then the kind of more fleshy, courtsy, devolved bloodline. I can't remember which one that one is called.
Why can't I think of that?
Strigoi, thank you.
Strigoi, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big love
to the chat. We don't have to think of things. The chat's got our back. There's 121 people here. Someone will know.
Chat, you smash it. I love you forever. So yeah, yeah. I mean, unbelievable. And if we do end up with, like, imagine a book. So we've had the Lumineth split into four, right? Imagine if we ended up with the Gravelords book split into four, where we had the Strigoi bloodline. We have the Blood Knight or the Dragon, whatever it's called, Blood Dragon, like, bloodline. So we end up with those different bloodlines. And so we end up with, like, a book that's kind of like four waves. We see the first wave, second wave, third wave, fourth wave, all of these different stuff like we've seen. I think that would just be... Whew.
Like, they reference... they still talk about the vampire lore quite a bit in their books and their narrative. Mm. But we haven't actually seen, like, the cities and stuff, right? Because they have a big piece of the whole Death Realm. Vampires are a key figure. Two of them are still on the head of Nagash's, like, advisory, right?
Agreed. Yeah, and Ruth says, stop it, Rob.
Manfred.
I can't handle it if we get four sub-factions in Soulblight. Yeah, I think they're going to go...
I can only get so erect.
Yeah, same. And this is like, these guys have 100% stole the show. Like, anyway. And then finally, so there's the Cursed City video, which we're going to watch, which I am in love with this video for a whole bunch of different reasons, mainly edited. I do hope my friend Laura did this. So if you guys do want to compliment anyone, please do jump onto at Pegasticks on Twitter. If anyone could go find her Twitter and ask if she's edited it.
See, here we go. Even... So instead of purple now, we got the red and black. And they've only went with three color options for this whole video. It's so good.
It's so, so good. So, so good. So do jump over there and compliment her on this stuff, because this stuff gets me excited. So let's just break down this stuff. This is a guy on a throne. And he's got a wolf pelt over his back, like very Norsken in some degree. And we saw this kind of like grave-headed spear shoveler, like this grave person here.
And he's rough too, right? Like, he's super bearded and everything.
Yeah, 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 really, really.
And then he got a vampire chick beside him.
Yeah, it's just so good. And then again, none of currently black and white, right? And we start to see this red, like red inclusion at the top, which I think is cool. And as we see it move, this is the important part. As we see it move, watch how it changes the characters. So as it moves over the red guy here, it only lights up the eyes of the wolves and the main character, right? So it doesn't light up everything around. And again, all the characters, their eyes light up. So I feel like this is a reverse of the bad moon. We're going to see some sort of powered by the blood moon sort of vibe, because... just like it's in there in the video, right? Like, you're seeing it, which is just so good. And again, oh, little other nod, it's all to do with blood. So if you look, like, all the cracks, it's like pouring with blood. So it's a blood moon, right? That's important. Now, shout out to a Knigget over on Twitter who shouted this out for me. So again, if you look at these characters who currently they're black and white, again, I just love videos so much, man. But they're black and white, and you see nothing on them. But as the moon hits them, watch their tails appear from the back of the miniature, like, or the back of the, so boof. And now we've got tails. We've got a tail coming off this guy. We've got a tail coming off that guy. And again, like, so it might be a tail. It might be magic. We're not sure what it might be. But I think...
tethered.
It could be tethered. Could be tethered or empowered. I think that's important. And again, there's that blood moon in the sky. And it's also a city, right? Which I think is really interesting, because these guys, all these guys knocking around, they seem to be slaves.
Batteries?
In some way.
They're batteries.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're just being harvested, right? Like, they're just being utilized by the vampires. So this is like their thralls that they get their life energy from.
Which is awesome, because it means we get to open, number one, obviously we know it's like a box set, where, because when we get to the hero section, I mean, it looks like, you know, you're going to try and invade the city. I can't wait for the 48 pieces of terrain from this set. You're going to invade the city and, like, you know, try and defeat the Wolf King or whatever he's going to be called. Yeah, so like, and then you're going to go through the city of thralls and everything else. But it does also give rise to the idea that we're going to see like cities of death, like we've seen.
It is cool to see like different zombie look too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is...
Just in case you forgot where they came from those tombstones. whatever they punctured to get out of the ground, they have to then wear as a memory or something. Yeah. So orc, elf, dwarf, human.
Yes. K.O. Dwarf, yep. It looks like. But with a oddly weird hat. I don't think we've seen that before. The witch hunter, who we've seen previously... a cool wood elf, which gives us some nod to some new wood elf design with antlers and everything else, which is fun. And then an orc who doesn't look overly like a brute, I would say.
No, and that shoulder piece is very different. Not bone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not an orc we've seen
before. This
crew
has been hanging together for a long time, so they're going to influence each other, right? That'd be cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think very interesting to see what this is. Maybe a human pit fighter, maybe, but he's too big. I think he's orc, and I love the mace that he's rocking.
The whole torso, and you can see the legs are kind of squatting out to the side. He's not human. That's orc. Mm.
Yeah, so good. So good. So this is obviously going to be the Warhammer Quest box set. So it's going to be those guys in there versus these guys. Yeah. So that's going to be the Cursed City Warhammer Quest, which will be probably the most sold thing in the history of humankind. Maybe
so,
more even
like,
than the Bernie.
I played their Warhammer Quest. So Silver Tower sucked. It was not a good game. A lot of people were like it, but for what it was. But it was just random. There was not much story behind it. Their next one, Hammerhall. I took three people that don't play the game. I took my wife and a couple of friends that don't play games, and I ran them through that. It is really well written. There's tons of lore. There's scenarios that don't even involve enemies. It's like puzzles and stuff. It's very D&D-esque, and they nailed it with Hammerhall. Hammerhall was awesome. So if they can just carry forward that quality into this whole thematic Castlevania-esque style, it's gonna be so good. And those two models they released is so good. That Witch Hunter has so much going on, it's ridiculous.
So much. I think that this whole range is gonna just blow people away. And I think also such Nathan on the Monday show has been painting up like zombie side, right? Like this is such a you could flog this to non-Warhammer people,
right? Bloodborne. It's very Bloodborne, which is a computer game or video game. It's changed their undead aesthetic significantly to this more grimmer, evil video game influenced faction now, instead of just the normal tropes that they used to go from. It's great.
Propagation, you can link stuff in the chat if you feel like you need to, bro. I think the models are outrageous. Oh, apparently there's a link. Propagation just sent us a link. Oh, to some. There you go. Let's see if you can make that a bit bigger for you guys to see. So there's a link to the box art for Curse City. So there's our vampire hunter, our KO, some sort of human fighter who we haven't seen previously.
More characters. There's a chick with a scythe or something, or scissors. What does she have on her back?
the one on the far left.
Yeah.
She's got a magical staff and a sword. So we're looking at some sort of warrior mage there.
Oh, okay. That's her. That's a collar. I think that's a collar.
That's a collar.
Jesus. Wow.
Thank you so much, Propagation. Massive love to you for sharing that to us. That looks awesome. And then we've got you have to have the classic human fighter, right? You've got to have the classic human with the sword. That looks like a foot Zangor to me. Is it?
No. So are they going to have six characters then? That'd be really cool. I would like to actually see, because if you're playing a four-player, probably five-player game, because Hammerhall, you had a dungeon master, it'd be nice to have more options for the players to roll instead of just the four typical.
I agree. Also, someone said, what's Mr. Tumnus doing at the top right? Which just made me laugh loads.
Twitch.
Thanks, Iron Gutsman. Appreciate you. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a cool image as well. Back to these guys, that Gravedigger model's just outrageous. And I don't know about you, I said this yesterday, and I still feel it's true. Quality is obvious, but there's very much not that cartoony vibe. I know it's a different box.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a different faction. But it feels, there's that level of realism, which I quite enjoy from these miniatures, which we haven't seen previously. So that's the whole kind of quest. Well, that's the whole day, really, Dayton.
Much wow.
Yeah, do you, some people said they're very disappointed about it. What did you think overall?
Yeah, I said, I'll reference back to what I said before. I feel if that was a release at a major event like LVO or something, people would be disappointed.
For what reason, do we think?
Just not enough of what's planned for the guideline in both systems. We got nothing for 40K in that, except for, Sister Model and Kill Team, right? There's no direction really figuring out on that. We should have seen some new Dark Eldar models, if that's a plan, or if they're just releasing a book, I don't know, things like that. a whole new system alone. Like Warhammer Quest isn't something that people are like going to be actively buying into, I want to say. Like you'll buy the box, but that's it. Like it's not a system itself. It's just a game. Right.
I think for me, the thing that they didn't do, so big negative is we got all this cool stuff, which is great, but we didn't get a roadmap, right?
Yeah.
And I'm excited about all of it. And like, there's a kind of the two tone, right? Like, I don't want you to release a brand new, like, I don't want you to like show me this today and then put it on pre-order tomorrow, because I'll be like, oh, I wasn't prepared, sort of thing. Like, so I'm excited about this, but I also want a roadmap. I think, like, I think for both 40K and Age of Sigmar and all of their games, I think they really, really need to start to understand that, like, we as a community do need that, not just for events, more COVID and everything else, for, like, rules and all those other elements, but mainly just to plan, right? Like, you want the, you know, you want to get into Daughters of Cain. You don't know if there's new miniatures, so, but, like, you don't know if Daughters of Cain stuff is 2 months away or 4 months away, and you're like, okay, well, if it's a month away, I'll wait for the book and I'll see. If not, then I'll buy Marathi, start painting her up. You know, I don't think by releasing a roadmap they'll disenfranchise people from buying things. I think what you'll just give people is an opportunity to structure what they're buying, when they're buying, and how they're planning what to do with their money. And I think you would end up...
their production line is still messed up.
Huh?
Like, I know tons of game stores that did not get that new Lord of Villains or the terrain. Like, a lot of stores got screwed with their orders for the Death Guard. So they're not anywhere close to production where they should be, so things are gonna be slow for a long time.
I agree and maybe they don't know what their roadmap is. Maybe they have, we know that they're having production issues and we're also having shipping issues, so we're not really sure where the whole game's going at the minute. Someone I know just bought Daughters book and Marathi to start playing Daughters in a few months, and now those books are pointless. Yeah, like
the lore, the painting guy,
the story, which they'll copy and paste into the new one. I think that's the thing as well. Like, yeah, if they're going to release that book in 3 months, the other book should be like out of stock 3 months ahead of time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying that would be.
They're
fair,
not your buddy.
They're not my buddy. They're not your buddy. I agree. And maybe just fucking take it back. Just return it. Just be like, oh, sorry, I don't want this anymore. Like, what can they do? Like, surely there's like a 28-day return policy? There's got to be. There's got to be. If games have got a return, they must have. Just be like, I bought this. Like, just fucking take it back.
I have a stack of books I'm going to get rid of. Like, I went through my shelf on all my Age of Sigmar stuff from like way back in the day. I'm like, cool, this gun. There's no need to hang on to this stuff anymore.
Well, listen, it's been fun deep diving that, like, and understanding what's happening in the future. Dayton, your favorite part? I think I know the answer, but I'm just going to ask you.
Vampires.
Agreed.
And the Vec, hopefully getting something in the Broken Realms.
Yes.
I love Death. Death is cool. And it's cool to see the new aesthetic choice. If we get anything like that later on in release lines, that's awesome. We're going to good places. Everyone will be happy.
everyone loves Warhammer Underworlds. Yeah, sure. Can you roll a crit? Sure. What about... So, you got any shout-outs before we head out today? Can I just thank everyone who's joined us live today? If you do want to join us live any day, Monday, 12 to 1, we're live every day and have been for 311 days now through the lockdown. So do join us as we go on the road to 1 year. So that's, and then every Monday night and every Thursday night we do 40K, and I play Age of Sigmar games Tuesday, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. So please do join us for any of those at any point. It would be super
unless
sweet.
You're from like the North America and you're not tuning into that, because that's god too early.
Well, too late. Stay up, get hammered, just get to it.
It's an interesting chat group.
Yeah, Dave, you got any shout outs before we go?
Owen Jackson, big shout out, and his tournament that going on. I just signed up for his Titan one, so
which we'll be doing coverage of. So the 6th and 7th of February, you can expect to join us all weekend for live coverage of two TTS events, which will be sweet.
Yeah. My Mega Gargant thinks it's a ghoul, so that's
nice.
Nice.
Well, that's good. That's fun. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that. So do expect to see us then. All right. Well, Dayton, thank you for being on the show. Love you.
Yeah, man. I'm here every Sunday now for a long while. You get me, because I got school starting. So
let's go. Oh, it'll be dungarees every Sunday. That's what it'll be.
I don't have a pair. I gotta go get a pair. No, I'm not. I'm not agreeing with you. I'll wear my onesie.
Onesie or two. Yeah.
Thanks and so a much shout out chat. To Val Saggy Body.
Oh yeah, Val Saggy Body is also a hot topic. See him on Tuesday. Thanks to everyone who has joined us live. You're all brilliant. Thanks to everyone who supports me on the Unswell Game Patreon. Literally pay for me to live, so anyone who does, I couldn't appreciate that. I literally, it's so good, so thank you so much. And thanks to everyone who subscribes on Twitch and listens to the podcast. You're all great. Have a great day. Look after yourselves. Don't forget to buckle up, and we'll see you soon.